So hello there, guys. Welcome to the Coffee Talk with Rob and Greg, episode 23. I'm Rob.
I'm Greg. And hi, guys. We've got a very special guest on the podcast today. So I'm very excited personally, because this is someone who is an expert in the mindset area, which is something I'm very interested in, Rob.
So we've got Croz Crosley on today, who brands himself as the mindset technician. You know, he teaches you how to reprogram your mind to get amazing results. He's also the author of a book called Tell Us Another. Someone who I've known now for probably about a year or so. I've watched him speak a few times, and I've also been on one of his courses. So, Croz, welcome. Great to have you on the podcast. Feel free to tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do.
Well, good morning, guys. Thanks for inviting me along. I'm actually rebranding as the Mindset Master.
Fantastic. Nice.
Yeah, I've been upgraded from a technician to a master now because I've been doing it so long. I've actually been doing this work now for in excess of 25 years, and it's been quite a journey, and it never ceases to amaze me, even today, the amount of people that don't realize how much power they've actually got over their life and how much control they've actually got. And that's really what I've devoted my life to now, come second to golf, mind you, but I've devoted my life to actually trying to tell people how to get the best results they can, because we are in total control and people give away their power to the voices in their head. So that's the journey that I take them on. And it's the voices in the head that keep rejecting all the information. And you've actually experienced, Rob.
Oh, frozen there.
You did your holiday.
Yeah, we missed what you just said there because you froze temporarily. Just repeat that again, Croz.
Yeah, I'm just saying that you've actually experienced some of these teachings when you come on the course, and I said for you to take that holiday, and I said to you that once you'd made the decision to have the holiday, that the finances would take care of themselves, and you did it. And is there a big hole where the money was?
Not so much now. No, I've taken on a few new clients since. The initial worry about like, oh, how am I going to pay this? I just paid for it and then worried about it later. Like you said, you talk about creating the void.
That's it. But you see, you've always got to deal in real. Your mind gets confused because it needs 100% of the information. So once you've made the decision, you've got 100% of the information, and your mind can go to work to actually solve that problem. Now, when you're all the time, you're going, how am I going to pay for this? What's going to happen? What all that you haven't got the information. But once you made the decision and you bought the ticket, your mind goes, yes, I've got 100% of the information. Rob's bought the ticket, and now I can go about finding out how we can sort things out, because you've got all the information. You've actually got a problem to solve. All the time the problem's not real, you can't solve it. And that's where your stress and anxiety comes from.
Fantastic. So it's touching on that subject, would you say that if you've got a solid vision of what you want, even if you haven't bought the ticket, but you actually believe that you're going, is that enough to get the goal?
Well, but yeah, and that's fine, but it's on the way to any vision is a series of factual things that take you towards it. The vision is like a dartboard. The vision is the target. And I say to people, listen, you've got more chance of hitting the target if you know what you're aiming at than you have if you just went in a pub and just threw darts at the wall randomly. You ain't never going to hit the target.
Which I've done a few times.
Right, lovely. Yeah. So you've got to actually know what you are aiming at.
Yes.
Listen, there are three parts to what I teach. After 25 years, I've got it down to three parts. Know where you're going, which I call the clear mental image. Make where you are, where you want to be, because it's no point going through life saying, oh, I'll go to America next year, or I'll do this, or I'll do that, or when this happens, I'll be happy. Listen, you've only got control over now. Concentrate on now, because that's hard enough, right? Without trying to solve things that don't exist. So just concentrate on now. Deal in real, make where you are where you want to be, and get rid of all the rubbish in the past, because we all drag a lot of rubbish around with us of going, oh, if it hadn't been for that, if it hadn't been for that divorce, if it hadn't been for that me losing that job. Listen, that's in the past. Yeah. That doesn't serve you. You only visit the past to get the information that you can make decisions today, and hopefully you don't make the same mistake again, because if you are, you're a bloody fool. So there's only those three things. There's a lot around it. And when I say to people, I say, create your clear mental image, because that has got to be what you want. Everyone creates that on what they think they can get. Well, that's no good, because if you think you can get it, it's not really pulling you anywhere, because you say, oh, I'll put that off. I know I can get that. But if it's something that's a bit of a stretch, you make it what you want. So if you see yourself living in, overlooking the ocean in a little house and all that, and you really, that's really what you want, you start seeing that, right? Exactly as it is. And you visit that in the first person and you talk about it as if you've actually got it.
And because you sort of let go of the emotional attachment to the past and focus your emotions more on that present goal.
Yeah, well, listen, the emotional attachment is slightly different, because you can have an emotional attachment to someone's died that you loved in the past, and that's an emotional attachment. And but you get rid of the emotion attached to things that went wrong. So when you say, I had the divorce, oh, and you start reliving it all. No, it's gone. You must start learning to do what I call deal in real.
Yeah.
Right? Now, your mind, right, and your brain is for you to control. And you can fool it.
Mm.
Right? You can fool it. And that's why we have the CMI in the future of what we're aiming at. Right? Now, your mind does not know the difference between whether that's true or not true. Okay, it's got no concept. It can't work it out whether it's true. You could lie to yourself. It's how you lie to yourself all the time. I'll do that later.
Yes,
you've got no intention of doing it later, but your mind will accept that bit of information. Yeah. That you're going to do it later, but you've got no intention of doing it. So you fooled your mind, right? So you can fool your mind with all the good things,
like,
right?
I'm George Clooney or something like that.
Yeah,
I know what
I'm George Clooney or something like that.
Yeah. Well, you look very much like him, Greg, actually.
Oh, thank you, Cross.
I was shocked when you said your name was Greg.
Yeah,
I
can attest that all of this stuff that Cross is talking about, it does work, because, you know, initially when I first heard about Cross and some of his methods, I was like, oh, that seems a bit, like, far-fetched. But now that I've actually been on one of Cross's courses and like, used his methods, it's funny how when you write down on paper or you put together a vision board, how those things start to fall into place.
Yeah.
So like I've had for ages on my phone screen that I wanted to go to LA. I went on Cross's course. I saw an advert not long after that for cheap flights. I booked a flight and I made it happen. And then there's other things I've written down as well, like the fact about how for ages I was depressed about being single and, like, you know, not having a girlfriend. And now that's happened. I'm in a happy relationship now, so I can attest that writing these things down, having that clear mental image that Cross talks about, it does work.
There you go.
Yeah.
Your goals.
Because, listen, people call it the law of attraction. I call it the law of allowing. What we don't get in our life, we've rejected. It's not that we can't get it. It means that we haven't allowed it to come. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because our thoughts are wrong. See, we're sending out vibrations all the time. Okay, we live in an ocean of motion, right? Everything's all happening. We are all connected. Okay, we're all connected. Now I believe that the thought that we pass out, our thoughts pass out, and what happens is, like a sound wave, when a sound wave's doing that, when it finds something it levels, it calms down and it smooths out. And I believe that's how our thoughts go. Because how many times have you thought about a person or something, and then the next day, or you've never, ever seen Yeah, you've never seen a word before, and then all of a sudden, everywhere you bloody look, there's this new word. So that's focusing. That's our thoughts going out and aligning, right? So it's like when you buy a red car. You never knew there were so many red cars, but there they are. That's your reticular activating system at work, right? So this is all like quantum physics and all that, which was the most boring period of my life studying that. But it's better to just say, look, I've experienced this, and over 25 years, I've seen it work so many times. And when people come back to me and say, Cros, it don't work, I say, well, you've done something wrong then.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, it works for every single person that takes notice and does what it says. Now, it sounds so simple, but it's the hardest thing you ever have to do because it fights all those voices, right? Because all the voices in your head, when I say go and imagine living in a house overlooking the ocean, they're going, don't be so stupid. You'll never get an house overlooking. So what's happening? Your dominant thought is stopping that happening. So you've got to train yourself to say, yeah, it is possible. I can point to loads of people in Bristol that have got houses overlooking the ocean. Why shouldn't it be me? But we don't say that, do we? We don't. We go, that's impossible. So our past programming is stopping us doing everything we want to do in life. And it's only how we've been programmed, because your mind is your servant. But we give away the control to all the voices. And once we start listening to the voices, that makes it hard work. And it's like I say to people, the first thing, I mean, I'm famous because my thing, I say, if you only learn three things in life, learn to relax. The second one is learn to relax. And the third one is what? Learn to relax. That's all you've got to know. Because when you're in a relaxed position, you make the right decision. When you're stressed, you will never make the right decision, okay? Mm-hmm. But what you do, the voices in the head go, oi, Cros, I know this wouldn't work when you were relaxed. Because you're stressed, let's give it a go and put a little bit of extra effort in and see if we can make it work, right? We all do it. And we go around doing things that we would never, ever, ever do when we're relaxed. But we think it's going to happen, because what we do is we do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, which when you're relaxed, you'd never do it. You say, well, let's finish this bit first. Then let's go on to that. Let's complete that and then go on. But when you're stressed, you go all over the place trying to do everything and you achieve nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And all my clients, the first thing, once I agree to work with them, I say, right, I'd make you one promise. Out of your relationship with me, you will do less and you will earn more. And I've never failed. That is the promise I make to anyone who works with me, because we all fool ourselves. We're all busy. We're busy bloody fools most of the time, because we're putting so much effort in and we're getting nothing out. And if it was on a graph, we'd put in 1,000% effort in here and getting 2% out. But the real way to do it is put 2% in and get 1,000% out.
Yeah.
Right? So people sabotage their own lives by the self-talk, by fear-based mentalities, which they've learned from conditioning, from childhood, from friends, people who say they'll never make it or whatever. And then they've just got their head full of this stuff. So they need to sort of...
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, you see, because it's by telling you not to do something... You can never fail, can you? It's a doddle. Just don't do it. You can't fail. But the thing is, failure are the stepping stones. Failures are the stepping stones to success. Yeah. If you don't fail, you'll never be successful, right? Because it's a case of keep trying, and then you look and you say, oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it that way next time. That was about making that hard work. Now, after 25 years of dealing with businesses, of huge businesses, I've dealt with multi-millionaires, I've dealt with people that are skint and in trouble and with depression and anxiety and all that sort of thing. Listen, it all comes back to the same thing. We've all got the mind and we're all in control of what we do. What the good things that happen in our life are all our fault. But guess what? All the bad things that happen in your life are your fault as well. You've got to take responsibility for everything. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is a charter to never have ups and downs, but what it does is it turns the ups and downs into a gentle little wave rather than a big violent up and down, because you learn to deal with things. And I told you, Rob, the thing is, and I tell you what, I wrote this 25 years ago, and people still, I'm still in contact with people from 25 years ago that came to classes, but they all say to me, this is the most amazing thing. If you've ever got a problem or a situation, you ask two questions. And what are they, Rob? Have I done everything I can? Is there anything else I can do? And if you answer yes, you've done everything you can, and no, there's nothing else you can do, you ain't got a problem. You're imagining it.
Yeah.
So you forget about it until it becomes real. And then we move on to the next thing. When it's real, we can deal with it. Because everything that ever happens is like, you know, once you've made the decision and it's real, you can sort it out. All your stress, and there's no stress and anxiety associated with something that's real, right? There's, you, it's a different emotion. But stress and anxiety is when you can't do anything about it, right? So we all look in and say, oh God, what if I ain't got the rent? And what if I ain't got that? And so what we're doing is we're tuning this negativity, and we've got no chance of changing things. But you know, when you say, right, when the rent's due and I haven't got it, I'll deal with that situation. But I had a client a few days ago, and her husband said every month she worries about paying the rent on the property for the business. I said, how many times have you not paid it? She said, well, never. Yeah, every month she still worries about getting that money.
Yeah.
Right? How crazy is that? How crazy is that? So basically, what I teach, and listen, I still learn something every day, and I'll give you an exclusive here. I've just learned a way of explaining something that it just blew me away. And I talked to a lot of other coaches around the world and all that. And the geezer the other day told me this. He got a glass of water like that, and he spun it, and all the water flew out of it as he spun it hard, okay? And he said, right. He said, the water are your problems. The glass is your awareness. I thought, yeah. He said, so how would you stop the water coming out? Get a bigger container. Your awareness, right? So once your awareness grows, you get more ability to deal with the problems.
Love it.
Right? Wasn't that brilliant? So once you grow your awareness, so all the time you take on this information, and every time that you get a result, you will find that then that logs in and you start getting rid of all those voices from the past, okay? And once you quieten those voices down, you win. And you realize the power that you've got. I mean, I've had some really, really amazing bad information last year. I was in Cape Town, and I was expecting an awful lot of money to come from a development. And I'd already spent that money and what I was going to do with it next. And I got a phone call, and the guy said, because of bleeding Brexit, they revalued the deal, and they're going to not give us any money up front. Cool. So I've gone, by the time I put the phone down, I was at peace with it, because I trusted the guy and I'd done everything I could. Well, there's nothing I can bloody do about it. The banks, I ain't going to be able to ring the bank up and change their mind. Is there anything else I do? No. So by the time I put the phone down, I was at peace with it. I could have let that spoil the rest of my holiday by saying, oh God, we were going to do this, we were going to do that. It's done. It's done. And once you actually take that control, and I say it's 25 years of doing this stuff every bloody day, it's not natural to do that. But the point is that once you do, so I carried on, finished my drink, chatting away, as you don't, you know. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't upset about it, but what I'm saying is it didn't affect me, and I put it in to position of where it should be. Whereas before, I'd have gone and ruined the holiday. And moaned for the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I didn't. But now I said, oh, that's a bit of a bugger. We ain't got the money coming in. So
you almost trusted your senses and your awareness to be able to deal with finding solutions.
Well, the thing is that I've got a choice of how I reacted to that information. And that's what I say. We give away the power. We give away the power to our programming and say, now it hasn't changed my life. I'm still here. I still play golf regularly. I still eating and drinking and going out and having fun. Nothing's changed, but I could have made a period of time really bad. So let me just give you an example. If you're imagining the thing, what if this happens in the future? Right. Now, have I done everything I can? Yes. Is there anything else I can do? No. About that, what you're imagining. Yeah. So it's not real. We can't do anything about it. Now, we've got a choice at that point. And this is the thought process that gives you the power. Now, I can decide whether to carry on stressing to that point, or I can forget about it and just carry on as normal and arrive at that point. Now, 90% of the time, you arrive at that imagined point and nothing happens anyway. And if it does, you're in a much better position to do something about it if you've been relaxed on the journey. But why have that period of time of stress? Right? Now, it don't make any sense, because we love and adopt stress, because it's, and it's like, things are going wrong, but I am stressed. So you can look at me and I am actually, and people look at me, so hang on a minute. That's happening and you're still all right. I say, well, yeah. Because there's nothing I can do about it. And it's not natural. It sounds so simple, but it's not natural to do it. But once you've got control over it, there's nothing, basically, I'm pretty bulletproof. I mean, we've got a thing going on, a personal thing in our family at the moment. And my wife is distraught, but I'm not, because there's nothing I can do about it. Not that I don't feel for the person, but I can't do anything. So it's not a charter to be horrible and irresponsible. It's a charter to say, well, hang on a minute. If I can do something, I will. If I can't, I'm not going to buy into this stress and anxiety. And it's like
people say, isn't it, across, you worry about something that's already going to happen. You're making it double.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the stuff is in the future,
yeah.
Right? Is conjecture, because anything can change. I mean, people go along. It's like, you can either look at the positive of what you think is going to happen or the negative. Okay? Now, if you think of it as positive, the odds are that it's going to be a better result than if you think of it negative. Well, I'm not going to say the odds are. It's fact. It will be better. Okay, so these teachings, they sound crazy, the fact of how much control you've got. Right now, when you walk into a room, you don't need to be told whether that's friendly or unfriendly, do you?
You can feel it.
Yeah,
it's palpable.
So where's that come from? Someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, oh, this is a bad place or whatever. No, you know it, you feel it.
Yeah.
But we lose all this sensitivity because we start poo-pooing stuff and we say, oh, that's rubbish. Well, I don't care, because I say to people, look, this information can change your life. Right? End of story. This information has changed my life and thousands of others that I've worked with over 25 years, right? And listen, you don't have to look too far, Rob, to find people that have experienced results out of these teachings, right? And it's up to you how quickly you adopt them, because up to 25 years, I'm still learned about the awareness thing and all that, it's just all we can find are different ways of explaining the information so that it's you can take it on board. I don't go into sort of too much of the scientific bits and pieces. I just say, look, if you do this, that'll happen. And if you come back to me and say, I did that and it didn't happen, I'll call you a liar because you couldn't have done it properly. Because these teachings don't fail.
Yeah.
They don't fail. They can't fail because it's how the universe, everything's in perfect order, right? You plant a little acorn, it don't all of a sudden decide to become a beech tree, does it?
Yeah.
It says, no, I'm an oak tree, right?
What would you say is your top piece of advice for business owners, particularly people who might be going through a bit of a hard time? Like, what can they do to kind of get through that hard time?
Well, the first thing you've got to do, right, is put things into perspective. You've got to reframe where you are. And you've got to make sure that what you're worrying and panicking about is real.
Yeah.
Okay. So you reframe where you are and get that to saying, right, this is it. These are the tools I'm dealing with. Second thing is you ask two questions. Have I done everything I can? Is there anything else I can do?
Yeah.
Right. And then you use that to try and get yourself to relax a little bit. Now, if you're worrying about something you can't do anything about, you're a fool. So you just try and relax. And once you've relaxed, you see things differently because you do things properly in line with that relaxed state. Every single thing cannot be thought about incorrectly if you're relaxed.
Yeah.
The only time you make bad decisions is when you're stressed and anxious.
Would you say that a sense of self-love, or is that the same kind of thing? Is rather than being in a place of fear, being in a place of love and acceptance of the situation, almost that gives you the clarity, or just?
Well, listen. We all need to reframe where we are, okay? Because a lot of the time we're living with a program that's out of date. Right, you need a new program, Rob, because you're in a relationship now. Yeah. So you can't take a single person's mentality to a relationship because it won't work, because that's give and take, and it's so you've got to reprogram. You've got to reframe where you are. You are now, there'll be a bit of give and take, and there'll be a few ups and downs, but you've got to put it in perspective as a person that's in a partnership rather than a single person. Yeah. But we all need to reframe and make sure that we're living with the right program for where we are. But a lot of us are making decisions now based on our program 10 years ago, which is what you're doing, Rob, where 10 years ago you couldn't have decided to go to America. Because you weren't in a position to make that decision. So that's what these teachings do. They say, right, well, you are in a position to do that. If it's what you want, then you've got to decide to do it. So you must, the most important thing of anything is to sort of make sure that you know who you are and where you are at this point in time. Then you take back the power. Okay? Because then the people that start telling you you're not this, you're not that, you know. You know, and if you've got a kid to yourself a little bit, don't worry about it. If you like, you're going for an interview, Rob, for that thing. Now you've got to sit down and you've got to position yourself going in there, presenting you as that person. It ain't no going in there and just pretending, putting a mask on, because that don't work.
Yeah.
Because your dominant thought will always be the thought. Transference. So you got to go in there, you got to convince yourself, can I do this job? Yes. And if there's any doubt, get rid of it. Can I do this job? Yes. What do I bring to the process? This, da 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 da. And you go in and you're powerful, right? Because that's it, you're going in there to present yourself correctly. Now I'll tell you how powerful this is. So we got time for me to just tell a little story?
Yeah.
Right, I'll tell you a little story. A guy come to me, and he's in the music industry, and he's created an app that will sell tickets and do different bits and pieces. Now, he's had it for 3 years, and the idea, and had little bit sample things done, but he needed $1.5 million to do the development. So I sat down. Right, the first thing is, right, we've got to see this thing working. So we did the CMI of it. He was at Glastonbury with everyone was playing the game and all that, and it was all exciting and everything like that. I said, right, keep that picture. I said, now the thing is, the guys that you're asking the money for, the reason that you haven't got any investment in this is because you think $1.5 million is a lot of money, which it is. But to the people that you're asking, it isn't. So there's a conflict of thought.
Mm.
You're asking for something that you think's impossible to a person that it doesn't represent anything. So you've got to realize that $1.5 million is not a lot of money to the people you ask. So when you say, how much investment do you want? I say, well, I want $1.5 million. You haven't got that deep-seated belief of thinking, oh, there's no chance of getting this. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd gone into the meetings and this, that, and the other. He got it. Now, he took me out to lunch. You might have seen it on the thing, Rob. But he took me out to lunch the other day. He has got backing for $6.5 million.
Nice.
Fantastic. Great.
Done. Move, huh? Right. But what's changed? Only up here.
Mindset.
That's all. Yeah. All that's changed is the way he was presenting himself, how he thought about it. Because if, see, you cannot fool the dominant thought, right? So when you go along and you say, I believe that, well, if you don't believe it, it don't matter how much you say you believe it, you will not transfer that belief, right?
If you don't feel
it's
it.
Impossible. Yeah. Mm. It's impossible. Mm. You go in, you know, and you say to someone, there's loads of examples where you go in and you think that you're presenting yourself properly, but deep down, you're not.
Mm.
You've got to make sure that your dominant belief is the thought transference that you're doing.
So it's almost like you're overwriting the self-sabotage area that you're used to, or maybe he was intimidated by the word a million or whatever.
Yeah.
And so by with your help, he was able to see that as a reality and be confident in asking for it.
Yeah, but you see, at the end of the day, your mind, right, doesn't know the difference between one and a million. It's just a number. It don't know the difference between colours or anything. It's your servant, right? So, providing that you can convince yourself, but you see, the trouble is that we keep saying that we do believe and we don't. We've got our fingers crossed behind our back.
Yeah,
we don't believe. And then that's when people come back to me and say, well, I've done what you said, it don't work. So, well, you haven't, because obviously there's still doubt or there's still whatever, because these teachings do not fail. They are based on cause and effect. And if you drop a bloody ping pong ball from the same height every time in the same conditions, it will react exactly the same. Because if it didn't, we'd all be in trouble, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
You imagine if we couldn't rely on cause and effect.
Yeah.
It'd be like a bloody Marx Brothers.
What film, a disaster.
Yeah? So we've got to know that if we do that, that will happen. But if you drop a ping pong ball and someone blows across it like that and it comes down and flows, it didn't work. So no, but the cause changed, so you got a different effect.
Yeah,
fantastic.
So when someone says to me, I've done exactly what you said, I can, with my hand on my heart, say, you haven't, because you've changed the cause and got a different effect. Right? And that's all there is to it. So once you actually lock into it and you put the same cause every time, you'll get the same effect, because they are the laws of the universe.
Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
The trouble is, we've been given the brain with the power to actually debate and that sort of question things. Now, a plant don't have that. A plant just has the program for success. A plant is programmed to be the best plant it can be. Got hanging baskets at home, have you? And when it's in the summer, you'll find the plants hanging over the side like that, almost like they're almost dead. You go along and you put a bit of water on them, and within hours they're up and again, because their program is for success.
Yeah.
We are hanging over the edge of the basket and someone comes to water it and we go, oh, why bother? It'll only go dry again, don't we?
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
get up. So, but if we hadn't been buggered up, our brain wouldn't allow us to hang over the edge and not react to the water.
Yeah.
But because we've been programmed to give up. Oh, it's too hard. Oh, I couldn't. Oh, not me. Oh, that's for other people. Oh, don't do that, darling. You might get hurt. Blah, blah, blah. So all these things are natural, but we've had them taken out of us.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
You know, it's like when we teach, when you've got children and they come along and you say, they're going near the stove. Oh, don't touch the stove, darling. You'll get burned.
Yeah.
And the kid, what, burn? Burn? What's burn? What's burn? Don't go near the stove, darling. You'll get burned. Burn? Burn? What's burn? Well, don't go near the stove, darling. And she puts her hand on the stove. Guess what? She knows what burn is.
And never forget.
That's it. That is these teachings. That is these teachings, right?
Yeah.
That you don't know. It's like reading a book. You're reading a book, does nothing. It's just words. Until you've done it and experienced it, you don't know. Yeah. So that little kid, if never burn herself, she can read that thing, you'll get burned. She'll never really know what burn is until you burn yourself. That's a failure, but a lesson.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's like people can listen to what you're saying, our listeners can listen, yeah. We can listen, or we can read a great book, but only if we start to actually acknowledge that information and apply it.
That's it.
We really know. If we just read a million books, it's no good.
Well, that's it. And everyone's looking. They say they grab the next book, don't they? They take it down, read it. Yeah, and that didn't work. Give me another one. Well, that didn't work, right? And that's what my workshops are about, where I get people for a whole day. We have a good bit of fun, don't we, Rob?
Yeah.
And we have a laugh and a joke. But at the end of the day, it goes in. And once you've done that, but then from that period, you've now got the information, the reasons why you should do it, things to watch out for, to get you through the times when you do feel a bit low. But then once you start actioning it, you cannot fail to change your life. There is no way known you can't change your life. But the voices are still saying, well,
yeah.
I'll get round to doing that next week, or I'll do tomorrow, or, well, hang on a minute, I've partied with me a bit of dough and nothing's happened, right? You've got to do it. You've got to put the action in.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Cross, for giving up your time. That was really good. Some really good valuable tips. So, if I'm not mistaken, you have some workshops coming up soon, don't you? Would you like to tell the listeners a bit more about the workshops?
I'll send you a link, and I don't know where you put this thing out. Yeah. You can put that on there. But I've got one in Farnborough on the 10th of July, and that will be a doozy. There's only 12 places, because it's up close and personal. We cover a lot of ground, and I can say to anybody that it is a life-changing day, because a whole day with me, and you might not action it, but you'll never forget it. So we have a bit of fun, a lot of education, and if anybody buys a ticket and they come and they don't feel that they've had value, I will refund their money in full. That's how confident I am about the information I got. And that's on the 10th of July in Farnborough. And if you want to change things, wherever you are, don't wait until you've got your back against the wall. Wherever you are, this information's powerful, you know, because I've got a client at the moment who's a multimillionaire that has had all the toys all for his life. He lives in a 10-bedroom house on the Wentworth estate in one room, because he's lost. He just, lost his family on the way through getting the money and this, that, and the other. And then I also got clients that are just starting out in business. So this information is relevant. It's how we should be running our lives. It's only all the stress and everything has been bred into us. The fear has been bred into us. So on that day, you can learn how to control that fear and how to change things.
Fantastic, Cross.
Yeah, we will. We'll include a link to that in the show notes for the podcast. So if you do want to book on, I can recommend it. Having been on one of Cross's workshops, so yeah, definitely go book a place.
And lovely.
Links to your books or any sites you want to add to it as well.
Yeah.
On the end of the podcast.
Well, I'm on Facebook anyway, so you can always get me on there. Just as Cross Crossley.
Make sure we add you and share you and put you on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. And it's been an absolute pleasure, Cross, listening to you. I could listen to you forever, I think. And I've got a lot of wisdom out of that. So I'm going to listen to it again later and start to actually implement.
Well, all I can say is that with my hand on my heart, if you adopt these teachings, there is no way your life won't change. No way.
Fantastic. Yeah. We love it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Cross. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we will hopefully have you on again soon.